You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It doesn't happen in all trades, but there is an awkward feel to trades. We don't want this. Would you take it? Sure. We don't want this. Would you take that? Now, there's certain times when you make a trade and you have to give up something that you want to keep. But sometimes it's, we don't want this. Would you take it? You know, I go back to the Jared Goff trade where the Rams go, yeah, we don't want him. We don't want that contract. Or the Eagles with Carson Wentz. Yeah, we don't want him. But would you take him? And then what do you give us in return? Hey, we'll take Matthew Stafford and we'll sweeten the pot and give you some other things with Jared Goff. Or Carson Wentz the same way with the Colts. Yeah, the NBA trade deadline and some of the names, Lonzo Ball, Kyle Lowry, Norm Powell, Aaron Gordon. That's about it. Andre Drummond. But we'll talk to Frank Isola from the Mothership. He'll join us coming up. We'll talk about the deals that should get done, will get done. What is in a name? When it comes to Washington's football team, a whole lot. After years of controversy, they lost their nickname, temporarily went with the Washington football team. And then yesterday, their team president, Jason Wright, said, Washington football team, supposed to be temporary, but the fans love it. So now they're not sure what they're going to do. I guess you can explore new names, new nicknames, but one financial reason is, you know, the merchandise here. Right now they're selling generic looking shirts that are pretty simple, but I guess there's a cool factor to it, coolness. But you switch to a new name and then you could sell another batch of merchandise here. But you really don't think about names for most teams, only when they're controversial. Does anybody think about, you know, the Rams in Los Angeles? I don't know if there are Rams in Los Angeles. We know the Minneapolis Lakers became the LA Lakers. Bears in Chicago. I don't know. Jazz in Utah. But I don't know if anybody cares. Washington is an exception. The name was a big deal, is a big deal. It looks like the team will keep it in the news for some time to come here. Stay with the Washington football team. The only thing I thought of is then Daniel Snyder can kind of move on. It's not something that people, it was a yearly, almost an annual protest, or somebody would be writing articles on this. Why do we allow this? And then the commissioner, it's on his desk, and then he's got to respond to this. All right, Washington football team, we move on. All right, I lose out on some merchandise, so what? I sidestep a controversy, or I avoid it altogether. Maybe you sell this merchandise, and then in 2 years you change. I don't know. Like, what are you going to change it to? Yeah, McClellan.
Yeah, the names like the Red Hawks that have been thrown out, yeah. Like none of them are as cool as Washington football team. I think that's like unique, right?
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I joked about it at the time and said they should go with the Washington football club, but they went with Washington football team. I think the most important part of all of this is, how about you put a good team on the field? Like, that's the most important thing out of all of this, because when you had that nickname, you didn't have a good product. Therefore, it was a little easier to focus on the name and the controversy. When you have a good football team, it seems like there's less concern, less focus on that nickname or lack thereof. That, to me, would be the most important thing moving forward. Yeah, McClellan.
Feels like their trajectory is, I don't know, it's going straight up, but it feels like they've had a great year run. We loved Ron Rivera. I think everybody respects and likes Ron Rivera.
I like what Washington is doing. I'm not sold on the quarterbacking situation. They did make the playoffs. Granted, somebody had to from that division. But Ryan Fitzpatrick, okay. Is he going to be my quarterback next year? And if he's not, then what direction am I going in? Like, that would be... That's what I would be curious about, because you got to have that. Who's our franchise quarterback? And they don't have a franchise quarterback. The Giants think they have it. The Cowboys think they have it. I don't think the Eagles think they have a franchise quarterback. And then you have Washington. But Washington has a young team. There's a lot of talent. That defense, the defensive line, played really well. I thought that they were going to go with Heinicke as their starting quarterback. But, and maybe they do. Maybe you bring in But I can't imagine that Ryan Fitzpatrick would hold off retirement to be a backup quarterback with Washington. I don't know if there are any assurances there, but if I'm Ryan Fitzpatrick, because he was also mentioned, I think, in Denver. Like, there were a couple of teams that were interested in Ryan Fitzpatrick. Yeah, McLovin.
What if Washington, would you like if they trade up to, say, 13, 14 to go for a Mac Wilson or a rookie that can sit behind Fitzpatrick and learn? Although Taylor Heinicke could be that too. But
Mac Jones?
Mac Jones, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what they're – I don't have any source that, you know, deals with Washington. I don't have any inside information on what they might do. But, you know, you have Heinicke and you have, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now, that doesn't mean you wouldn't say, hey, we got Mac Jones and we're going to start him. I mean, it might be a great situation where you don't have to. I mean, they whiffed on their last quarterback that they took in the first round. And maybe they want to kind of survey the field a little bit and see what happens with other quarterbacks. Is Sam Darnold eventually going to be available? Jimmy Garoppolo available? There are teams that are going to be all in on getting a quarterback in the first round, and then what happens to their quarterback? You don't like taking leftovers, but I don't know if they're one of those teams that's going to go up and get a quarterback. Yeah, McLovin.
So you said that Penei Sewell and Patrick Surtain are probably the two safest bets. You had heard that they might be. Like, Chase Young is a great player with Washington, but even as great as you are, if they passed on Justin Herbert, will that haunt them? So it's like, that's why you have to take the risk on the quarterback if you're that high. Chase Young's amazing, but still,
yes,
should, if you look back on it, wouldn't you have got a quarterback? Because you got to find them.
It felt like Chase Young, you knew what you were getting. We still weren't sure with Justin Herbert. You know, for everybody to, you know, tell everybody or tell, you know, hey, I knew he was going to be great. I think that's a small group. He's athletic. He you know, we saw that in the Rose Bowl. He had big arm, you know, big kid. But, you know, there were issues with consistency with him. There were times when you'd watch and you wouldn't see anything that was special. And then other times you would and you go, wow. You know, and I don't think he handled the pressure of all the notoriety his junior year and then his senior year. Then we were like, okay, let's see what you have. And I just think that there was inconsistency there. And then you had Tua, where it's really hard to play a bad game at Alabama. And, Miami was tanking for Tua. But, you know, the injury and a slow start to his career. Joe Burrow played really well with Cincinnati. And then Herbert surprised everyone. Herbert, when do you think Herbert would have gotten into the lineup? If you don't have the doctor who was puncturing Tyrod Taylor's lung accidentally, when do you think he's going to be playing? Because the Chargers didn't see him as a guy who was starting. That's why when you know, we look at it and go, man, some teams really missed on him. I mean, the Chargers might have missed on him from the standpoint of they were going to start Tyrod Taylor. It's not like, and you know, watching Hard Knocks, you could see how players, veterans, would watch Justin Herbert in drills. And you got that sense of, wow, that is different. And I remember saying, we haven't seen something like that around here in a long time. But even then, he wasn't going to start. And then I wonder how long you were going to keep him out. Now, maybe, you know, Anthony Lynn can say, you know, I knew it, but, it, you know, I just wanted him to get the feel of the game from the sidelines and game plan, listen on the headset, all those things. But I don't know how many people were like, that guy can't miss. Because if you did the draft again, does Justin Herbert go before Joe Burrow? And I'm going to guess you're going to have some people who say yes. Justin Herbert was great very good from start to finish last year. Joe Burrow got hurt. Joe Burrow, to me, had a more impressive year because he was doing it with the Bengals. And he was the only guy out there. When you watch the Bengal games, you'd be like, wow, he's somehow making this happen. But, you know, those two are going to be compared the rest of their careers, along with Tua as well. And then Jordan Love. You know, does Jordan Love get thrown into the mix there? Now, do we look at him and include him in these guys who were taken in the first round? High in the first round. Yeah, McLeod.
Is that like how Baker Mayfield and that whole class all gets lumped together? Lamar Jackson, Josh Rosen.
I don't know if it gets in. I don't know if they get lumped in together as much as I think Mitchell Trubisky, because the Bears didn't take Mahomes or Deshaun Watson. But Watson and Mahomes will probably be compared the rest of their careers. But I think Trubisky was there because the Bears passed on those other guys. Nate in Oklahoma. Hi, Nate. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. I've always been a big fan in the NFL draft of, filling those holes, finding the best people to fit your positions of need. After being a Titans fan last year and witnessing Isaiah Wilson's disastrous rookie season of 4 snaps and then all the troubles he's going through, please take the best person available at any position regardless and figure it out. The Cardinals did it with Kyler Murray. I know it's a different situation, the quarterback, and they found someone that they loved. But please, for the love of God, just take whoever you love the most. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Nate. Nate sounded sad. For God's sakes, please take
the end of his rope there. Like, God, I don't know how much longer I can do it.
You got one more call to make. Yeah, I got to call a Dan Patrick show. I just got to tell him, make sure you take the best of it. Adrian Wojnarowski is reporting the Bulls and the Magic have made a trade. Nikola Vucevic, Al-Farouq Aminu, for Otto Porter, Wendell Carter Jr. III, and 2 first-round picks. All right, that's pretty good haul for Chicago. They're still interested in Lonzo Ball. The Magic are moving towards a rebuild with Aaron Gordon.
Vucevic is 30 years old, listed as center, averaging 25 and 12 this year.
I know. That's about as quiet as you could possibly average 25 and 12.
He's an all-star.
Oh, I know.
He was the last all-star.
Yeah, but an all-star. So Aaron Gordon is on his way out. And, man, that'd be tough to go or watch a Magic game.
You'll do it, though.
I will. Yes, Todd.
It's like they're making their relevance disappear.
Magic Kingdom.
Magic. Magicians make things disappear. Your Orlando Magic are making their relevance disappear by getting rid of everybody.
Thanks, Goofy.
Back to you in the studio.
Thanks, Goofy. You've been quiet for 2 hours.
I've been trying to track down various hockey people that are willing and have the courage to come on and talk about this thing.
This is in our wheelhouse, trying to track down these guys. Yes, McLovin.
I saw one juicy rumor, and I'll hang up and listen after this. Will the Bills trade Larry Markkanen for Lonzo Ball? Would you do that? Because they're both free agents after the year, so they might be shopping Markkanen, who I haven't heard us mention once in 2 years. We were all excited about that guy.
I liked him.
Is he? Yeah.
Not Arizona. I liked him. And he was good in his rookie year.
I feel like he should be.
Second year.
He's a shooter. He should be good in today's NBA, but I haven't heard much about him.
Yeah, I heard where he's. Once again, I when somebody says, I'm hearing, or there's a rumor. But yeah, I don't know. We can ask Frank Isola about this coming up here. By the way, when you look at, Justin Herbert getting his chance because of a punctured lung, how long does Tom Brady wait if Drew Brees doesn't get hit? Right? Who knows how long that is? I think the Patriots knew they had something in Brady, but you had just made Drew Bledsoe the highest paid quarterback in the league. He was the highest paid player in the league. Gave him $100 million. And then all of a sudden, Brady comes in, and even during the Super Bowl, he managed, I don't know if you can say he led the Patriots to a win. The defense played great, and you had Vinatieri kicking the game-winning field goal, but he was managing the game. And then all of a sudden, I think they realized that they had something else there. Yeah, Paul.
Well, I guess if you look back at it, we talked about that, Bill Belichick's gutsy play was not going back to Bledsoe.
Yeah.
In November. I think one of the gutsier ones of all time, I think maybe, was Pete Carroll going with Russell Wilson as a rookie over Matt Flynn. They spent on Flynn.
Yeah, I know.
Not Carroll, but the GM spent on Flynn.
Yeah, and I think that was based off one impressive performance against the Detroit Lions, and then Matt Flynn became a free agent. And it's like, we got to have Matt Flynn. And then I think Pete Carroll was around Russell Wilson and realized, you know, who he was or is. And I think Pete was outside shooting hoops at the Seahawks facility. And he called, he told PR person, have Russ come out. And Russ goes out. Russ has no idea what Pete Carroll's going to tell him. And I think Pete basically said, hey, you're our starting quarterback. Like, not a big presentation, more of just, hey, while I'm shooting hoops here, you're our starting quarterback. And Russ was the starting quarterback ever since then. Hadn't missed a game. Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, 2011 with Green Bay, Matt Flynn started one game, and he played some in some others, and he had he was a 70% passer, had 6 touchdowns, 2 picks. Everyone went crazy over him. He was only 26 years old. The Seahawks ponied up. He never started one game as a Seahawk.
But was his big performance where he threw for 400 yards against the Lions?
Yep. Yeah, that'll get you paid.
Yeah, I guess. All right, we'll take a break. A slow start to the trade deadline, but we'll talk to Frank, see what he thinks is going to happen here. We still have, 4 hours or so before the trade deadline comes to a close. 18 after the hour, this is the Dan Patrick Show. M-Drive, age is inevitable, right? Age is undefeated. But that doesn't mean you can't fight it every day. It's important. That's why I start my day with M-Drive, everyday supplement for guys with drive. Refuse to let age beat them. M-Drive is packed, powerful ingredients backed by science. Keep me energized, strong, lean. You want to work out, ready to go, starting the day. How do you feel? How did you feel this morning? And are you ready to try M-Drive? Go to mdrivedan.com. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. M-Drive, you can try it. You can go online. Or you can go to Walgreens, Rite Aid, Vitamin Shop. Energy, strength, drive. It works for me. It can work for you. Fight age. Do the best you can. Start with M-Drive. Go to mdrivedan.com. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive. And make sure if you go to the website, see all the different ingredients they have with M-Drive. Once again, powerful ingredients backed by science. It's mdrivedan.com. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
What's up, everyone? It's me, 3-time NFL All-Pro Sean Marion, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Marion. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Marion on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Did you add some new music to the library, Seton?
No, I didn't add these. These are probably some old ones that's coming back around.
Oh, just curious here.
Tribe Called Quest.
Yeah. I didn't know that, but thank you. I'm aware of Tribe Called Quest. But I don't know any of their songs.
Now you know too.
I do?
Yeah. This one and the last one I played.
Okay. Oh, so that was Tribe Called Quest, too.
Yeah. Yes.
I did love the name, Tribe Called Quest. Yes. Yes, Paul.
I was driving around the other day, and I heard a little Big Daddy Kane, early 80s, mid-80s. Yeah. Really good rapper.
Yeah, not familiar.
You don't know Big Daddy Kane?
I know the name, but I don't know.
Very talented rapper.
My knowledge of rap is not that good.
Well, window of music is really what, like seven, late 60s to late 70s? Is that like your wheelhouse?
I love a lot of music, but
if you were saying the music I grew up on was blank.
Oh yeah, it's 60s, 70s, but I mean Tupac. Who else? Biggie. I think Biggie's the best rapper I ever heard. Like I the way he sounds. But yeah, I'm not a big rap. Yes.
What about the Bismarcky, B and Rakim?
No.
You know LL Cool J, though.
Yeah, I know who he is, but I don't know it. I don't know the music.
Makes me sad.
Why? It makes me sad that you listen to that, Billy Joel and Hall and Oates.
Well, I'll cruise around with the Beastie Boys.
You don't like
to my
Springsteen. You don't know Zeppelin. You don't know the Stones. You don't know the Who. Like, I feel sad for you. Yes, Seton.
I've said it before, but driving in the car with Todd and letting his, you know, iPod or whatever kind of music player he has just go on shuffle is fascinating. Because you'll get, you know, Biggie Smalls followed by Air Supply, followed by like a Guns N' Roses song or something. You're like, what the? This
doo-wop,
is the craziest.
Doo-wop music, Neil Sedaka, Barry Manilow, all that stuff.
Yeah. I don't know most of that.
Well, and then Public songs. Enemy right after that. And you're like, Public Enemy into Survivor? No kidding. Wow. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Let's do it.
Public Enemy, I get. I get their impact on music, society. But, Biggie Smalls, Tupac. You know, let's bring in Frank Isola. He'd be the guy to talk to when it comes to music like this. Frank, you want to add anything to this?
I figured it was the natural segue. We're talking hip hop, so why not bring me on? I like all those guys that you mentioned. I'm like you, Dan. I know the songs. I just don't know who played them. I went to a U2 concert years ago. I flew out to Portland. It was going to be the final night of their U.S. tour. It was like 3 days before Christmas. My wife's still not talking to me about this because I went. And Kanye West was the warm-up act. And we got out there, and we were probably like, we were standing up. We were like three people from the stage. He was unbelievable. He was so good. He played for about 90 minutes. He was great.
And
so
U2,
I put him up there too.
U2 has always been great. I saw them when they had Muse opened up for them.
Yes.
And Kings of Leon opened up for them.
I saw that one too, yeah.
Yeah.
And I saw them with Damian Marley once, because, you know, like the reggae.
Yeah.
He was outstanding. Really good.
All right, Frank. Well, that was it. We appreciate you.
All right, I'll see you guys.
Woj just reported that the Bulls landed Nikola Vucevic, a couple other players for Otto Porter, Wendell Carter Jr., and two first-round picks here. And that Chicago's still in the chase for Lonzo Ball. Why is it that other teams want Lonzo Ball, but New Orleans doesn't want Lonzo Ball?
I think it's because they're going to eventually have to pay Lonzo Ball, but there is a lot of interest in him. And you think about it, he's improved a lot. I think his shot has improved a lot. He's a big-time athlete. He's not going to be better than his brother, but his brother has a chance to be a perennial All-Star. I kind of like that deal, though, for Chicago. Vucevic, there was a good stat that somebody just had. There are four guys in the NBA this year averaging at least 24 points and 10 rebounds. Nikola Jokic, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Joel Embiid, all three of those guys are MVP candidates. Now you have Vucevic, who's putting up those numbers on a losing team. I get that. But you put him with Zach LaVine, and obviously the Bulls aren't done. I think this is a team that's headed in the right direction with that new management team and obviously with Billy Donovan as the head coach.
Let me go back to New Orleans and the Pelicans. When I watch, they're a below-average team, Frank.
I know.
I don't understand. What is missing here? I don't understand this.
Well, for one, they don't play enough defense. And I think Zion Williamson has been terrific, but on the defensive end, he's not good. And, you know, we just mentioned LaMelo Ball. The one thing that sticks out for me the most about LaMelo Ball is he got to Charlotte. He's putting up good numbers, and the team has been winning. Now, I get it. He's in the Eastern Conference, so it's a little bit different. To me, that's still going to be the measure and the impact that you're really going to have on a team. And maybe there still needs to be some growth that has to happen there because it is a very young team, and it's not going to get older anytime soon. And they're just trying to navigate their way through the Western Conference. The West is tough. I think a lot of people are disappointed. I think they should be a little bit further along. But defense is the problem with that team. They just don't guard anybody.
Are the Clippers interested in Lonzo Ball? Like, what's the likelihood? Where's his landing spot?
Well, I think there's a few teams. I think the Knicks, believe it or not, are still interested in him. I think if he went to a team like the Clippers, I think he could help them. The problem with the Clippers is they would love to have a guy like Kyle Lowry, but I just don't think they have enough to give the Clippers back, not only just in terms of assets, because remember they made those trades to get Paul George. They gave up all their first-round picks, but I don't even think they have enough to give back in terms of contracts. So to me, Kyle Lowry, the perfect fit for him would be the Clippers. You put him there, that's what they need. Mm. A leader, a guy that's been through it before, a tough guy. He's flopping all over the court. He knows how to draw fouls. That would be the perfect player. Lonzo Ball could help them, but does it take them over the Lakers if LeBron and Anthony Davis comes back? I'm not sure about that.
What about Kyle Lowry to the Lakers? Do they have the pieces?
That would be a big-time move for them. And that's the thing. When you have LeBron on your team, and who knows, he'll probably play until he's 50 – but you know, you have to look at it like you have a golden opportunity right now. And if they can get him, that would be some move. I think Kyle, from what I had heard the last couple of days from a guy that's close with Kyle Lowry, is that, you know, he really, if he's not going to stay in Toronto, he'd like to go to Miami. I think that's something that appeals to him. But I think the Lakers have always been out there, and he fits in so perfectly with that team in terms of his toughness and his leadership. Could knock down a three-point shot. Anybody that plays with LeBron is going to be that much better. And you put Kyle Lowry and Anthony Davis there, come on, that's a pretty formidable team.
Aaron Gordon, once out of Orlando, where do you think he ends up?
Yeah, Dan, there was a great story. You should look up the quotes from Aaron Gordon. He said that he had a meeting with management and he expressed frustration with the losing and the way that the team has been playing. Yes, that's why they paid you the money. So you're the one that's supposed to do something about the losing. Imagine how frustrated management must be that they're paying you all this money. I mean, that's some meeting to have. You know, like that's I got a kick out of that. You know, the problem with a lot of these players, you know, can they be the third best player on a championship level team? That's to me what you're looking at. I don't think Aaron Gordon could be your second best player and you could be a championship team. Anthony Davis with LeBron? Absolutely. Anthony Davis, when he was in New Orleans, got out of the first round just one time. So Aaron Gordon, I would think the ceiling for him is the third best player in a championship team. And I'm not so sure where that fits right now.
Frank Iasola joining us, Nets studio host on Yes. He's got the NBA radio, the starting lineup, and you can see him on Around the Horn, and pardon the interruption. Are the Clippers a contender? Like, it feels like we don't talk about them the way we did, say, a year ago.
Yeah, I think you're right. And the way that everything ended in the bubble for them, nobody's going to take them seriously until we see them as an organization finally get to a conference final, which is something they've never done before. So Paul George is playing well, and everyone's saying, talk to me come playoff time. And then the guy that kind of, you know, got off scot-free a little bit here is Kawhi Leonard. He was the one that came in and had to move heaven and earth to bring in Paul George. And listen, he did play well against Denver. He didn't have a great game seven, but I don't know if that's LeBron James and he doesn't have a great game seven. We're still talking about it today. So you have to put a lot on Kawhi. And here's the crazy thing, Dan. He could be a free agent. He could leave. Can you imagine everything they did to get Kawhi Leonard and everything he wanted them to do? And then come the offseason, whenever that is this year, maybe in August, he tells them, I'll see you later. I'm going someplace else.
Where does that lawsuit stand with the guy who said he helped facilitate Kawhi to the Clippers with Jerry West?
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine it's going to go very far. Was Jerry West probably speaking to somebody who's close friends with Kawhi Leonard? Absolutely. But did this person have anything to do with Kawhi going there? I highly doubt that. Dan, people were talking about this all throughout the season in Toronto. I thought that Toronto was going to be able to resign him, not only when they went to the finals, but when they won a championship. I figured, you know what, maybe he'll stay 1 or 2 years, then he'll go out to the Western Conference. But everyone was saying Clippers or Lakers all throughout the year. So how much did this person have to do with it? Just because you had a couple of conversations with Jerry West, I'm not buying that.
What about the Nets with what they're doing? Well, James Harden is doing with Kyrie out, Durant still out. Do they do anything at the trade deadline?
Well, they could be a team in the buyout market. There's been talk about maybe J.J. Redick. You know, JaVale McGee now is off the board. He got traded. Andre Drummond is still out there. The one thing about Brooklyn, if you look at James Harden, what he has done. So last night, they held him out of the game. And Steve Nash, after the win against Washington the other night, and Harden took a knock to the head. He looked like he was out of it. His neck was hurting. He started the second half. I was surprised that he played in that game. He played against Portland. But Nash had said, I'm concerned about the minutes. I don't know what to do about it. I think they held him out of the game last night. He was in uniform. Mm-hmm. To me, that's a player's way of saying they're holding me out. He didn't feel like he needed to get dressed up and wear some crazy outfit that he's putting on a fashion show on the bench. To me, he wanted to be out there. He's carried the team. Kevin Durant is their best player. The face of the team right now is James Harden. Do you know that he's played 30 games? Kevin Durant in his Nets career has played 19. Kyrie's only played 31. This guy missed the first 13 games of the season with the Nets, and he's going to end up playing more games than both Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
But do you think it's Harden's team?
I do from this standpoint. He's been the one carrying them. Now, when they get Kevin Durant, and this is the thing about the trade deadline today, everyone's going to be trying to make moves. We're assuming the Nets are going to get Kevin Durant back. They're saying it's only a hamstring injury, and I think now they're just being extra cautious. Nobody is acquiring a player like the Nets are going to get back in Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant is invested from this standpoint. He knows there's one result that he can get. You either win or it's been a bust. Doesn't mean you can't go back next year and try to win it. There's a lot of pressure on them. He is so happy with the way that Harden has played, and Harden is the same way. Harden forced his way out of Houston. He knows what his reputation was. He knows there's only one satisfactory result, and that's winning. That's why this team has been all in.
Charles Barkley said recently that Harden's the best player in the game, and talked about
you know, just what he does offensively, it's unlike anybody else. Which, I agree with the offensive side of this. I don't think he's the best player in the game, but he's on the short list there. He could have played back in the 80s or 90s 100%. With the physicality there. I'm just curious what Jordan and Kobe, some of these players. Now, Kobe had a little bit of this era, but, you know, spread the floor. Can't put your hands on anybody. They would have developed into better three-point shooters because it, you know, your offense almost calls for that. I said earlier, I think that, you know, Mike and Kobe averaged at least 40 a game at the peak of their careers in today's NBA. They averaged high 30s, you know, back in another era. What do you think, you know, when you, we love to compare eras there, but if I put Jordan and some of these other players in today's game, how much does their game change, evolve, and what do you think they average?
Well, you were living through it when Michael Jordan was playing, and you remember Doc Rivers, about, 6'5", Derek Harper, 6'3", both strong, and they're both putting their hand right on Michael Jordan's hip and trying to guide them to where they want to take him. You were allowed to be really physical with him, and he still is leading the league in scoring, and he's winning championships. Can you imagine him in today's NBA with how many times they call fouls? He would spend the entire game at the free throw line. See, for me, it's a little bit different. And I'm sure you're the same way. I think Michael Jordan's the best player of all time. I never felt you were going to beat him four times in a playoff series. So I think if you put him in today's NBA, and if he wanted to, and he had the same drive that he had back then, because today with load management, who knows how he would be. But if he was willing to play 80 games a year, 80 to 82, he's going to average 30 to 35 points, and he's going to win MVP every year.
Yeah. I remember Phil Jackson came in. He was promoting his book. And I said, what would Mike average now? And he said he could see him average 40, 45 points a game.
Yeah.
But that's if your coach, if Michael was playing for the Rockets, where D'Antoni was his coach, then Mike could average whatever he wanted to average because that's what James was allowed to do.
Yeah. You're 100% right. And I think ever since Harden got to Brooklyn, if you look the other night, he had 17 assists. When he grabs a rebound, much like LeBron, his head is up and he's looking to throw the ball ahead. So I get it. In Houston, they wanted him to play a certain way, and all he did was dribble the ball for basically 22 seconds on the shot clock. Then he would take the step back three. But he's been an unbelievable leader on this team. He's always looking to get guys involved. And then late in games, when he feels like he has to take over, he puts his head down, he drives to the basket, and he makes that floater. And if the defense commits, he throws the ball up for an alley-oop. It's amazing how he reads the game. He sees the plays develop like a split second before everybody else. It's the mark, really, of a brilliant player.
And it's the one thing that is probably not highlighted with Harden, because we look at him as a gunner, a volume shooter. His ability to, and you say this, keep his head up and see the floor and see a play before it develops. That's rarely highlighted with James Harden.
Yeah, and I think, too, if you look at Mike D'Antoni, he had in Phoenix Steve Nash, a two-time MVP in the league, and I think Nash was the same, obviously the same way. The difference is that Harden at any point could just dominate a game scoring. That's what makes him so tough. So if they get Kevin Durant back and Kyrie Irving is going to be around and he's going to play in every game, it's going to be so difficult for any team in the Eastern Conference to beat them. Now, Milwaukee with P.J. Tucker, now that Jrue Holiday is back, look at the way that they've played. I think it's now 8 in a row, so they'll be a tough team. Philadelphia's done really well with Embiid. Embiid has dominated the Nets a couple of times this season, so they'll present challenges. But if, and I understand it's a 7-foot, you know, if, that's Kevin Durant and his health, but if he's healthy, I just don't know how you can beat that team, because with Durant and Harden, they're unstoppable. Then you throw Kyrie into the mix, who, by the way, has played really well the last 3 weeks. He's just not with the team now the last couple of games.
I'll leave you with this. If the Bucks had won the championship last year, would the MVP voters be looking at the Greek Freak differently, and maybe a three-peat? It almost feels like it's being held against him.
Yeah, I think you're right. I always say that, too, about the voting. You know, the media votes for it, and we all kind of like a story. It was like Karl Malone winning that 1 year when you probably could have given it to Michael Jordan. Like, you could give it to Michael Jordan every year. You can kind of give it to LeBron. But remember, though, we did vote based on the season ending. I think it was March 11th or March 12th, whenever it was last year. And at that point, Giannis had done more. The team had the best record in the league. From the bubble on, LeBron was the best player. So LeBron was bringing up an argument which really didn't hold water. We had voted in March. But I do think you're right. And I think sometimes there's a little voter fatigue with an MVP. That's why maybe this could be the year for a guy like Damian Lillard, maybe Nikola Jokic, James Harden. So that's the thing, too. The media might be thinking, ah, the way that you handled your exit in Houston, I don't like it either. But come on now. The guy is certainly an MVP candidate. But with Embiid out right now and LeBron out, it's kind of wide open. And Giannis certainly is making a move right now.
Is that Len Bias's jersey behind you?
Yes. The great Len Bias.
What's the reason behind
it? I went to Maryland.
Yeah.
I was a freshman with his last year. What a senior year he had. They went down to Carolina. Carolina had never lost. They were number one in the country. They had never lost a game yet in the Dean Dome, right?
Yeah.
And that's when Len Bias went down there. That was that great play where he hits the three, then he steals the inbound from Kenny Smith and dunks the ball backward. I mean, come on now. That's a pretty good college highlight.
How would you describe him for those who didn't see Len Bias?
Well, I think, you know, if you ask Michael Jordan, he would – I'm not going to say he's on Michael Jordan's level, but if he had played for the Boston Celtics when that group still had a lot left, I don't think it's much of a reach to say that he would have been – that they would have won another championship. He went to Duke his senior year. So his senior year, they beat number one Carolina in Carolina, where you know they get every single call. Dean Smith standing up the whole time complaining about traveling. They went down to Duke, and I think he had 40 or 41, and the Duke students – were bowing to him. They were doing this. So, like, people knew that Len Bias was a different kind of player.
Yeah. Frank, thanks for joining us. Enjoy the day, and we appreciate you spending time with us.
Thanks, Dan. Good seeing you.
That's Frank Isola. He is a studio host with the Nets and also part of SiriusXM NBA Radio, the starting lineup, Around the Horn, and Pardon the Interruption. Take a break. We'll close up shop after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. If you're watching on Peacock, you saw us when we were at Hinkle Fieldhouse, where we were recreating scene from Hoosiers. Oh, Butler Bulldogs, their field house there where they shot the closing scenes for Hoosiers. And we did the one where they come out and they measure the basket. We had our Butler jackets on. It was fun. I love that place. You know, although during the day, it's not a great place, you know, during the day for shooters because the light comes in. They have these big windows there, but It has a really cozy, you know, fun feel to it. It's special. It's different. You know, it's not like, you know, just a sterile environment that you have in a lot of these arenas. But we had a lot of fun back then. Well, I mean, we still have fun, but that was a lot of fun.
If you're a fan of the movie Hoosiers, and we had like 2 hours to ourselves in Hinkle Fieldhouse,
yeah,
it felt like a time machine.
Oh, it was awesome. Just shooting around. Yeah. Yes, Todd.
And we got a chance to hang out with the dog on top of the shooting around. It was just great all the way around.
Yeah, the bulldog. Yeah, he was fun because he wanted to play with the basketball. But that was good. That was a fun time. Rory McIlroy teams up with Pika. Did you see where Rory hit one of his drives yesterday in a swimming pool? Tough to play it out of that. But that's a water hazard. But hit it out of bounds. Rory McIlroy teaming up with Peacock, bringing you the Golf Pass channel. All new. Watch premier instructions, entertainment from the Golf Membership Program, plus daily news from Golf Channel. Sign up at PeacockTV.com. Start streaming now. I don't take pleasure watching golfers hit bad shots, but I remember Francesco Marinari. He topped one a couple of weeks ago at a tournament off the first tee. He did what we've done. He just tops it. He probably ended up with a par, but he just topped it. Or you see where Jordan Spieth, I think, nearly hit one of his playing partners, the guy he was playing with yesterday. Those things don't happen with pros. At least you don't think they do. And then when they do, you're like, wait, what just happened there? And Rory hit one that went out of bounds and landed in somebody's pool in Austin, Texas. Yes, McClub.
The scariest story you've ever told is having to tee off at those pro-ams with the people right in front of you that you could have hit.
And they think you know what you're doing. And I played in the Pebble Beach pro-am twice. And you get up on the first, all you want to do is a great tee shot on the first tee and a great putt on the 18th hole. That's it. Because for the most part, the gallery is probably not following you, but they're going to watch you on the first tee and they'll watch you coming up 18. And that's all you want. But then you play in a pro-am out in Tahoe, and I would be waving people back because I'm thinking, I don't know what I'm doing out here.
they think that, you know, they're following a tour player. This day in sports history, Paulie, what do you have for me?
Blank became the first player in the NHL to score 200 points a season, Dan.
Wayne Gretzky.
This day in sports history, if it's it's always Bobby Hull or Wayne Gretzky. 1997, your Hartford Whalers announced they would leave Connecticut following the 1996. This is very touchy up in Bristol still. Finally, in the 1996-97 season.
I was there for the last game of the Hartford Whalers.
Berman never got over that.
No, he did not. Howie Schwab never got over that. Stumped the Schwab.
They became the Carolina Hurricanes, Dan.
Yeah.
And then just the following year, it looked like a bright spot in Hartford that they thought they were going to get the Patriots.
Oh, man.
The Patriots bait and switched the state of Connecticut to get a better deal back home in Foxborough.
And I remember people would ask me all the time when I'd come home from work, do you think we're getting the Patriots? And I would say, no, you're not getting the Patriots. And my wife said, can you stop saying that? I said, it's my job to be honest. And she goes, but the disappointment on their faces. I said, well, I can't lie. She said, well, just say you don't know. I said, but I do know the Patriots aren't coming here. So my wife is telling me to lie to our neighbors just so they're going to feel a little bit better. Yes, yeah,
it's like some cities are minor league cities, and that's okay. That's okay. Be an awesome minor league city where it's cheap to go to a game and there's lots of fun to be had.
Yeah.
That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
The Hartford Yard Goats. Did you see that disco, that minor league baseball team called Disco Turkeys? Did you guys see this?
Actually, I thought it was going to be the Washington Disco Turkey.
No,
it's going to be the new.
No, that's not it. Yes, Todd.
Well, you got the Hartford Wolfpack also that plays in the lovely XL Center in downtown Hartford.
Thank you, Todd.
You're welcome.
Yes, Paul.
Way to stay with the bet. The Carolina Disco Turkeys are the newest great logo in sports.
We'd be remiss if we didn't mention the Hartford Athletic, great USL soccer team.
Work of it. Yeah, the Carolina Disco Turkeys, Winston-Salem. It's a guy in a leisure suit, kind of like
a disco. He's at a disco.
A lot of fun colors.
Yeah, you guys, did you think I was joking when I said? I'm deathly serious on this program here, Paul.
Yeah, disco turkeys. It looks like a bird and John Travolta.
But you're guaranteed to get national coverage. Guaranteed. It worked. Guaranteed. Because people show the mascot, the logo.
Yeah, but then like seventh inning stretch, you got to get up because there's like Casey and Sunshine Band playing.
Do a little dance.
Everybody's got to do a little disco thing. And you're like, oh, I don't. Can I just sit here and drink my
beer? I just listen to Sweet Caroline?
Like, throw a little pitch. Get a little single. Let's win tonight.
Yes, Todd.
Are the baseballs all sparkly like a disco ball? Or they just turn the baseballs into little disco balls? That would be kind of cool.
Let's go around the room what we learned on the program.
Can't get anything out of you. Not even a
steak
chuckle.
You didn't do anything for 2 hours. Nothing.
A disco ball replaces the baseball. Same size as the baseball, but it's a disco ball.
What did you learn?
Week 12 of the 2020 season, Jared Goff's 3 turnovers and a loss to San Francisco may have been the last straw for Rams coach Sean McVay.
McLovin.
Frank Azzola says James Harden faced the Nets.
Seton.
I learned that the disco biscuits there, where you throw the ball and you hit it, and glitter flies everywhere.
That would be fantastic if that
John
happened.
Travolta throws out the first pitch. Yeah, Paulie?
The lovely XL Center in Hartford?
What we learned brought to you by Mercedes-Benz vans. They go far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, 5-star sales, service, financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz vans, built, equipped, engineered. Get ready for anything. Go the extra mile. Take the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. We're going to try it again tomorrow. Oh, but wait, there's one more item. RockAuto.com. All the parts your car, truck will ever need. RockAuto.com. Founded back in 1999, family business, and it was founded by automotive engineers. They know what's going on in the business, and they're trying to take out the middleman and pass the savings on to you. They want to give you direct access to all the parts information hidden in the computers and catalogs behind the parts store counter. And second, they want to offer reliably low prices. RockAuto.com has parts that you would expect. Plus, they give you a choice of brands and prices and a lot of other parts like carpet or parts for the body on the car, electronics that you probably were maybe told not available or maybe too expensive. Why waste time and money hunting for these parts? Phoning, driving, waiting in lines. Go to RockAuto.com and tell them we sent you. right, Dan Patrick? And the how did you hear about us box? So they know we sent you. They'll take care of you. All the parts your car or truck will ever need at rockauto.com.